Teach Me to Code, episode 28, Agile Retrospectives. Hey everybody, and welcome back to another Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week I'm going to be talking about Agile Retrospectives. Now, something you may notice while I'm recording is that things are flowing a little bit differently. I just want to point out that I've actually switched from recording into my computer to recording into an Eteral recorder. It's a digital audio recorder, and so I'm still working out some of the details here. So if you find that the audio is hard to hear or something, I'm going to be fiddling with that. All right. Now, I do want to get into the podcast, but before I do need to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by New Relic. New Relic is the leading online application manager, or it's not a management tool, it's a monitoring tool, and it gives you all kinds of great feedback for your Ruby or Java applications. So if you have something out there, you probably should be using New Relic just so that you can keep a handle on, you know, where problems are occurring in your application and what you can do to fix them. So go check them out at www.newrelic.com. You can also go to the Teach Me to Code website, and there is a banner on the right. One other thing that I want to remind you of is that you can leave feedback for the show. You can call in at 801-753-8279, or you can email me at chuck@teachmetocode.com. I am accepting feedback both for the screencast, the podcast, you know, whatever. I'm also planning on writing a few more articles, so keep an eye out for those. Now, I do want to get into this retrospectives, and this is something that I really... I've been learning more and more about agile development, and a retrospective is one of those things that I really feel like sets agile apart from some of the other practices that are out there. And what I mean by that is that you know, the retrospective is it's a key piece of agile. A lot of the agile methodologies recommend that you hold them. Some of them dictate that you hold them with a certain amount of regularity. Others of them just say hold them when you need them. Ultimately, I think the frequency with which you should hold the retrospectives really boils down to the approach that I like with Agile, and that is that you should be doing whatever it is that makes the most sense to you. So, for example, if you... If you find that pairing works for you, then you should do it. And if you don't find that pairing works for you, then don't do it. You know, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. Find a tool that works for you. Find developers that you can work with. You know, I think all of these things tie into Agile. And I think the retrospective is kind of the key to figuring that out. I've had several people in the past point out to me that you can do just about anything for a week or 2 weeks. And so, you know, that being said, I think if you do something for a week or 2 weeks and then have a retrospective, then you can figure out either one of two things. You either figure out, well, this isn't working at all, and so we're going to scrap the plan to keep this as part of our process. Or you may find, well, you know, we are getting these benefits from whatever practice, and if we did these other things in conjunction with the practice, then we could minimize some of the problems. Or the other thing that you may find is that you may find that, you know, you don't need to add a practice, but you just need to modify the way you do things. So, you know, you may find, okay, well, we need to, let's try having project management sit in on this meeting, or, you know, get involved more in this part of the process. Or you may find, you know, it's really hard to work under these circumstances if the manager's around. And so, you know, so in order to build better software more regularly, what we need to do is we need to, you know, discuss the manager's role with him so that he can be more effective in helping us be more effective. So anyway, the retrospective is kind of hard, mainly because you're talking about problems. And so you don't want to fall into the trap of casting blame or getting upset or anything like that. You know, really what the retrospective is about is it's about solving problems. So that being said, I think, and this is something that I found on the Agile Retrospective Resource Wiki, and you can find that at agileretrospectiveresourcewiki.org. They talk about the prime directive. And I think this is really a key piece to this. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. This is by Norm Kurth from Project Retrospectives, a Handbook for Team Reviews. And he said, quote, "Regardless of what we discover, we understand and truly believe that everyone did the best job they could. Given what they knew at the time, their skills and abilities, the resources available, and the situation at hand." Now, first off, I want to point out that this should apply to more than just reflecting on what happened and talking about what we can do better. I honestly believe that if you work for a company and it's going to survive or thrive, that it needs to have this philosophy about all of its employees. And if you have an employee that you cannot or do not feel this way about, then they're not a fit for your organization. All right, well, anyway, back to retrospective. So what this says is basically, we're going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. They did the best they could, and we really appreciate it. And now we're going to talk about what we can do better. And so then it's not about any one person. It's about finding ways to make things better. Now, there are a lot of things that I think go into having a good retrospective. In other words, things that are make the meeting more conducive to particular to learning particular things and to having everybody open up. Now, I work on a really small team, and by small, I mean there are 6 developers in the office and 2 remote, and our manager. And he actually wasn't at the last retrospective, and I'm kind of curious, because it was also our first retrospective as a team, I'm kind of curious as to how that affected things. And so I'll probably report back in a couple of weeks once we've had 1 or 2. I've already recorded the next episode of the podcast, so you won't get it there. But in 2 weeks, I'll let you know how it goes with him in the room. Anyway, I think one thing that we did right is that we all kind of sat down and faced the whiteboard, and then we got up and we wrote down the topics that we were discussing. Now, I go to the Agile Roundtable group in Salt Lake City, and that's organized by Alistair Coburn, and he's a big Agile person. If you don't know who he is, go look up his Crystal Agile approach. Anyway, I brought up that we were kind of getting into Agile, but we didn't know what we were doing. And I got a couple of good suggestions, and I think both of them are valid, especially for doing a good retrospective. The first one was to hire a coach. And I don't know if we're going to go down that road. But the other suggestion that I got, and this was specifically toward retrospectives, and this is what got me onto this topic in the first place, was that somebody recommended that I get up on a whiteboard or one of those flip over paper on easel, I don't remember what they're called. And then basically what they recommended that you do is you draw a line down the middle of the paper. If you just get a regular size sheet of paper, or if you have it on the easel, you draw it down the middle of the paper. And I just did this on the left side of the whiteboard. And you start at the top and you draw it about 2/3 to 3/4 of the way down. And then you draw a line across the paper at the point that you stop drawing the line down. And then what you do is I'm going to mute my machine. You label the left side as keep, the right side is try, and the bottom is problems. Now, it was really interesting to see how things wound up on one side or the other or under problems. And I really didn't want to write things down under problems if we can solve them, because that's the point of try, is we're writing in our solutions. And retrospectives aren't all about problems. I just want to point that out. That's why you have keep. So, and that's kind of where we started, was, okay, well, you know, so we've been pairing and we've been estimating, and I'll get into estimating your workload later in another episode. But, you know, we've been doing all these things. What are we doing right? And it went really well. You know, there were some things that people liked, some things that people didn't like, some things that were going well, but needed to be modified a little bit to, you know, to work with the way that we wound up approaching things. And, you know, overall, it turned out really well. We probably had 6 or 7 things that we were like, well, we got to keep doing this because it's working for us. On the try side, it was nice because it wasn't, well, so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. And it really wasn't targeted at anybody unless it was, there was one name that wound up under try, but it was, we want to pair with the QA guy that's writing the automated tests. And, you know, it was aimed at helping him become better, and he actually wants to become a developer. So, you know, it was really aimed at helping him get to the place that he wanted to be. You know, but there were a lot of things that we wanted to try out. And it turns out that I've been reading up on retrospectives just to see what's there. And it turns out that we probably should have narrowed it down to 2 or 3 things and said, these are the ones we're going to work on this week. We are going to think about the rest of them, and we'll probably try them in a future iteration. And that way we could really just do well with whatever it was that we had talked about. We did change the way that we estimate things, and we did some other things. And the real interesting place that things wound up, in my opinion, was the problems area. Because the problems area, about 80% of what was there was stuff that we needed to discuss with the manager and say, hey, look, you know, these are problems, and these are problems that you can solve and that we can't really solve. And, you know, generally it was, okay, well, how do we deal with this, and how do we deal with this, and, you know, can we get project management more involved in this way and less involved in this way? And, you know, just all of these different discussions that, you know, he was able then to say, okay, well, you know, I have some action items that I can address, and, you know, hopefully we can open up communication with some of the departments that we deal with on a regular basis, and make things flow a little more smoothly. And it's interesting because most of the things that we were talking about, weren't just things that would make our jobs easier, but they were things that would make their jobs easier as well. And since we work so closely with project management and a few of the other people in the organization, I think that really makes a difference. So, you know, just some tips, some things that really worked for us was that, you know, we wrote everything down and really, you know, just kind of had that conversation that we needed to have. But one thing that we could probably do better is just narrow down our focus for the next iteration so that it's basically, you know, focused on, you know, 2 or 3 things instead of the dozen that we had written up on the whiteboard. Another thing that we did that I liked was that, you know, everybody that was there was basically, I don't think anyone had a laptop in front of them or anything, so everybody was involved. Oh, it's a flip chart. That's what those things are called. You know, we did it in our office. We call it the cave. But we did it in our office, which was, but we all, you know, gathered over by the whiteboard, and we were sitting at tables, but we weren't really using them. But ultimately, you know, I think it was nice because everyone could just kind of lean back in their chairs and have a comfortable conversation with one person recording stuff. And so I think it's important to find a place where you can be comfortable and, you know, not be distracted by work or anything else. You know, I can't really think of anything else. I did find some retrospective tips on the Agile Retrospective Resource Wiki, and I really like a lot of them. And so I'm just going to go ahead and read through these really quickly, and then I'll put a link in the show notes. One is to split into small groups to narrow down actions. This helps with large teams or quiet members, because it forces them to communicate. If you're in a pair, you have to talk to the other person. Use a space without a table. And I think that has a lot to do with both the, you feel like you're working when you're having the meeting, and it should be a comfortable conversation, as well as minimizing distractions. Have a backlog of retrospective actions with done or not done next to them. And see, this is what kind of indicated to me that, you know, we can have several retrospective actions that we're not thinking about at the moment. Write the output on a flip chart and stick it up in the workspace where all can see. And that's what we did with the whiteboard. But yeah, I would like to do something a little bit different. And I'm actually thinking about writing a program that maybe would help put that right up in front on your workstation. Location, location, location. Find a good space and mix it up so that it's not always in the same place. And I think that's interesting too. I don't know. I part of me thinks that, you know, if you get into the routine, you may not want to mess with it. But at the same time, you know, yeah, I mean, if you go to the coffee shop or something and sit down over, you know, Italian sodas or something and talk through the stuff and just bring your flip chart with you, you know, that might add to the comfort level and people not taking stuff personally. Write up the retrospective output, including actions, and put it on a blog or wiki or send around in an email. And we do a lot of that with our meetings anyway. One of the guys on my team, he has a pretty nice camera that he takes pictures of anything we do in a meeting and then emails it around. And it makes a huge difference. Forward specting, what can we start doing now? I really like that too, because then it's not, well, when we get around to next week, maybe possibly we can start. You know, it's something that you can get into right away. Do a warm-up exercise to break down any tension and get people in the mood. You know, there's something to that, but the guys that I work with, they're pretty laid back, and I don't know that it's necessarily a concern there. But, you know, if you do have people who are worried about how it's going to go, or, you know, don't really want to discuss issues like this, you know, that might be a good way to do it. And there are several exercises and tricks and all kinds of stuff that are listed on this wiki. So I'll definitely be putting that up. Food. You know, again, it's just a relaxing thing. Use a facilitator from outside the team. In other words, you borrow a scrum master from another team, or, you know, bring in a coach, something like that. Swap the facilitation role within the team. Don't let the same person, the coach or scrum master, do it each time. And I think that's important too, because everybody is going to bring kind of a different feel to this, and you may wind up coming up with things that you need to address or things that you need to keep that you wouldn't if you don't switch it out. Plan your retrospectives. Don't just turn up and run it the same way each time. Throw everything away from the retrospective except the retrospective actions. Focus on outcomes and not problems. And I think those are all really good. So I'm just going to let you go and browse that. You know, there are some activities that you can do and things like that. And some of them are recommended by people that I've heard of and talked to. And, you know, they're just really, really good. I'm not sure who put this up. But it says that it has the GNU free doc license, which I'm assuming means that you can share it as long as you don't close source it, and whatever you share is open source. And that's more or less how I feel about this podcast anyway. You know, go ahead and share it, download it, pass it around, whatever. So I don't think that'll be a problem, me sharing something directly off of this wiki. But anyway, so if you're looking at doing Agile, I highly recommend that you look into the retrospectives. Find a method of doing them that works for you. It might be worth trying the way somebody else does it, but be open to finding ways of changing it up so that you figure out just how it flows best for your team. This is definitely something that we're going to keep doing. And I'm really excited to see where things go. We'll probably have one tomorrow. So like I said, in 2 weeks, I'll let you know how the last couple have gone. And, you know, maybe we can pick up this conversation. If you have any tips or things that you want to share regarding retrospectives, please call into the comment line, 801-753-8279. And, that will just give us, something to talk about in 2 weeks. I do intend to cover other Agile, topics, and I'm also trying to get, some people like Jeff Patton and a few others who have expressed willingness to come onto the show, scheduled so that we can get them in and have them talk about what it will take to, implement Agile properly. Because I've had a few people ask, how do you implement it? And it's kind of a hard question to answer, I think, because, there are so many different teams, so many different people that can be on those teams. And so I don't know that I can recommend one methodology over another, but, I do want people to be able to, you know, get going and be trying to figure out how to do this stuff. So, if you're trying to implement Agile, you know, feel free to talk to me. I'd be interested in knowing what your problems are. I probably do have a few suggestions that you can follow, but, I'm intermediate at best at this stuff. And, you know, what that'll really do is help me, find these experts and talk to them and see what they recommend for whatever you're doing. So anyway, that's all I have for, this episode. So go check out our sponsor, newrelic.com, and, you know, get out there and build some awesome code. If there's any other something that I can do for you, anything that you're interested in, or, you know, just anything like that, I love the feedback. Email me, chuck@teachmetocode.com, or, you know, like I said, call the comment line. You can follow me on Twitter at charlesmaxwood.com, and you can follow all the stuff I'm doing at teachmetocode at teachmetocode.com. And, you know, outside of that, I just want to thank you for listening and ask you to go leave a review in iTunes. And that's it.